Everybody,
we're back
once again. It's a little pocket awareness.
A little pocket awareness.
Just a little. It's Marcus and Chris. It's Chris and Marcus. However you want to say it. We're back. We had a pretty decent week of free agency already.
We took a step back to make sure that we absorbed all of
it. They soaked it. We soaked it all in.
We soaked it all in. There was just too much going on last week. We couldn't in good faith come to you with half baked ideas.
And you know, it's kind of settled down now.
Absolutely,
it's settled down a lot.
We're seeing where everybody's ending up.
Yeah, that's very true. And then see how it's going to shake up the draft. So, so make sure you subscribe. Little Pocket Awareness. Check us out.
Spotify and iTunes.
Spotify, hit that download button. Hit the go ahead search. A Little Pocket Awareness.
You know, we got to throw those first few episodes on there too.
Yeah.
Because unless you were following us from day one on SoundCloud.
Yeah, you do got to get those.
We're missing some episodes up.
Yeah. You definitely get those first two episodes up there. Get all the archives going. But, you know, we appreciate you guys following us for how long you've been following us. We're episode 25 right now, so we're going to keep it moving for you guys. We're just getting started. It's very, 25 episodes seems like it's a lot, but
we're going to turn it up. It's not a lot yet. I think not yet. No. I think we'll start turning it up for them on the social media side so that they can get a little hint there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they can see something. Maybe there's an Instagram. Maybe there's a Twitter. Maybe there's a Facebook. Well, we'll figure it out.
Just everybody gets to listen. You know, everybody gets to listen. Check us out. We got some good information. We give some good stuff.
We did. We nailed it last year. I'm convinced, man. We really nailed it last year. And I think that we're pretty spot on already with how we feel about this year.
Yeah, for sure. So today we're going to be covering the free agent quarterbacks, where everybody went, free agency. We're going to go over the pro days. Drew Lock's pro day was today. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins. We're going to go over their pro days, what we thought, if they changed their minds of anything, or if it moved any needles for us or moved any needles for anybody else. So we're going to go over that. And then we're just going to, you know, talk about a little free agency, a little draft, a little mixing, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
We do get sidetracked sometimes, so whatever we get sidetracked
about. We'll try and keep the focus there.
Yeah, you know.
But it's all good information.
Exactly.
It's all relevant information.
It's all great information here. You know, we keep it going. All right, so
free agent quarterback. Yeah, the one guy, Marcus, that I told you two things. One, the deal was already done the last time we spoke before free agency even happened. I told you. And then two, I told you the number he was going to get too.
Yeah.
Did you believe me, Marcus?
I didn't believe you.
Didn't believe me.
It's not that I didn't believe you. I was hoping that the NFL would not be that dumb. That's what I was worried about.
Well, welcome to the NFL.
I thought the NFL would not be that dumb. But obviously they are.
Welcome to the NFL.
They obviously are.
Welcome to the NFL, Marcus.
So
Nick Foles got 22 a year from the Jacksonville Jaguars for only being able to read half of a damn field at a time. Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's very, very average. That's what all I got to say about that with Nick Foles. And
they got rid of all their defense to be able to pay him to do that, too. They're gone. They're going to have a horrible year. They're in the gutter, back in the gutters.
Now I'm with that. I mean, they still got some of the pieces. I mean, they still got
that was Calais. A lot, though.
They got Telvin Smith, you know.
Calais, they kept Calais, who's a year older.
Yeah.
Instead of Malik Jackson.
They still got AJ on the other side. I mean, they're okay. I mean, they're all still all right. They still got Miles Jack. They still got all those guys. They still got a little foundation. They got rid of some of the guys who didn't produce the highest level on their team. So I think on defense, they're okay. I just think on offense, they're not going to be able to do anything. I mean, see, the thing that people, you know, Blake is awful. Don't get me wrong. But one thing that Blake could do was get out of the pocket, make a play with his legs, scramble a little bit.
Yes.
Which kind of helps with the team with the really good defense.
Yes.
Is that last year the defense just wasn't that good.
Mm-mm.
So once the last year when the defense wasn't that good and you just had to depend on Blake to kind of make some plays, I mean, yeah, Blake ain't making plays.
Well, and it got worse for them too because Fournette was out the majority of the season with injury. And then, you know, he had to go punch somebody in the head in the game in Buffalo. So he got himself kicked out of a game too. That really helped me out in fantasy football. Also, just to throw that little jab.
I mean, I could debate. I don't know if Fournette's good or not.
Well, now it's up to him to be able to stay on the football field.
When he came out, I had him behind Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey by a lot. And I feel like that I'm pretty right about that. I mean, Dalvin Cook, I had him as RB1, and I'm little mad about myself with that, because he's that athleticism at the combine. I should have thought about that, because that, I mean, it really kind of shows when he plays. He's still pretty good. He's still good.
Yeah, and I don't think that I don't think that Dalvin got a fair shake, not for any other reason than he was hurt, and the way that they were running that offense, they were not interested in running the football. So when the offensive line was all banged up, I don't think you can give a final grade for Dalvin Cook yet.
And that's true. I know.
I don't think you can give a final grade for Leonard Fournette yet either. His biggest problem right now is making sure that he stays on the field, and that's what Jacksonville needs. They need him to be on the field, because Nick Foles cannot operate an offense without an efficient running game.
Yeah. You know, I talk about getting sidetracked already, but I just got to ask this question. Why can't the NFL evaluate running backs correctly? You ever thought about that?
I think it's because of how the position's changed. They don't know how to evaluate them right now, because they're not even being utilized like they were 5 years ago.
Because they miss a lot on running backs. Like, Phillip Lindsay, that's a pretty big miss. Like, what did they miss on Phillip Lindsay? There's a lot of I get that he's small, so I guess this is what you missed.
Well, isn't that what they want in the position? They want these little guys that can hide behind offensive linemen.
I think that's why Josh Jacobs is what. Josh Jacobs is supposed to be the RB1, and he can catch and he can run routes and stuff, and that's probably one thing. I mean, he blocks. He's just tough, but he's not the greatest running back in the world. I don't think as a running back he's good.
That position's completely changed.
But he's about to go first round just because he's tough and runs people over. And that's cool and all, but I'm just saying, like, I just think they miss a lot. They took Fournette at four, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, he definitely wasn't the top five pick.
I think he was. No, I think he was. The reason that he wouldn't be for me is because he got hurt at the end a lot.
Yeah.
And it's translating now to his NFL career.
Well, he just had no wiggle to me. That was my problem.
I don't think you need a lot of wiggle sometimes. The way that these defenses can't tackle, just run straight through them, man. They don't want to get in the way of anybody anymore. They don't know how to tackle anymore. They just throw their arms out there. Yeah. These guys that are trains, they can run through all that.
But running backs like that, they need great lines. I think if you have wiggle and you can make a play by yourself, you don't need a great line. And that's what I think about with when I look at running backs. I think elusiveness is probably one of my biggest things, because if he's elusive, I mean, anybody can just run a straight line. But that's my problem with Darrell Henderson. He's a straight line guy. I mean, if he goes to a team with a really good line, then
a different story.
Yeah, but like Miles Sanders, something like that is different. Anyways, don't talk about running backs.
Got into it because a guy like Nick Foles needs a running back.
It's true.
Because all he can do is look at one side of the field. It annoys me so much, Marcus, watching him on tape. His head doesn't turn. It stays to one side of the field the whole way. He never in Philly looked the other way. Not even to look a guy off to make a throw. Not even to move his safety, because he knew that he was already going to be on that side of the field. Never did it.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Foles is a third round quarterback.
And who's he going to throw to?
Straight up.
D.D. Westbrook? That's his number one guy?
I guess so. Yeah, D.D. Westbrook.
Jacksonville, their draft, their pick, they're going Metcalf.
You think they're going Metcalf?
They need a wide. He's got nobody to throw the ball to. He doesn't even have a tight end to throw the ball to.
I think they might go edge rusher.
What for?
Because they need one.
Well, I mean, you're not.
Who's on the other side of Ngakoue? I mean, Fowler's gone, right?
Fowler's gone.
Who's on the other side? No, I can't. No, I got to think about that. There's another young guy. I mean, they drafted the D-tackle from Florida last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't
know. Wasn't that back-to-back drafts? They went D-line from Florida? Fowler and then
Fowler was 15. Fowler was the same year as, like, was it Mariota and Winston?
I can't remember.
Fowler was the same year as Mariota and Winston. Let me look this up. Of course, I put in the wrong Fowler. So, you know what? Just forget that. I'm not looking up Dante Fowler. Who cares?
Right? Who cares?
Who cares about Dante Fowler? but, yeah, so
I'm telling you,
I think they might go Ed Rusher just because of that. I mean, they don't have that same pass rush.
I know it's deep, but they need somebody to throw the ball to. And Metcalf is that kind of wide receiver that fans get excited about. And he's an Ole Miss guy, so he's not that far off from where their base is, their fan base. All those fans that drive back and forth in the SEC, they'll drive to Jacksonville every single weekend. That's how you cater to your fan base and hit a position of need at the same time. I think that's a home run hit for Jacksonville, even though I don't think he's the best receiver in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Metcalf, he probably will go high because of that. I mean, people try to act like the pro day doesn't matter, but it does. And people overreact to watching the guy run really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he's big.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumped high.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to overreact. So we all know he's going to go top five. He's going to go top 10. Just
he's going to go top 10. He's going to go to Jacksonville. I'm convinced that's where he's going.
And we know we bring up the three cone and all that stuff, but nobody really pays attention to the three cone.
I can teach him his technique. I can get his feet faster.
You know, and I guess NFL teams do, but it's just the reason why the three cones down on the TV. I don't think the 40 and the drills and the vertical and
that's what they
all
want.
That stuff is just as important. You know, so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it says here they got Calais Campbell at defense end, but I feel like he's a D-tackle, right? Doesn't he play inside?
He plays both, right? He can play both, and because it's a 4-3 defense.
They switch in and out, right?
Yeah. They dance him around.
So I still think they might go edge rusher.
I get it because he's not a young spring chicken over there.
I see somebody like Brian Burns going to Jacksonville at 7.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, I mean, they do need wide receiver help. I mean they got – but they already have three
what?
DJ Metcalfs.
No, they don't.
They got DJ Chark, runs deep routes. D.D. Westbrook runs deep routes.
D.D. Westbrook's
a slot receiver. They got Marquise Lee, underneath guy. You know?
You think they're going to go with those three?
They got Keelan Cole still. See, I don't know if they're going to go wide receiver. I'm going with edge rusher. Most people think they're going tackle. I'm going edge rusher because I think that's what they want to do.
Didn't they lose their tackle?
Huh?
Didn't they lose their tackle in the offseason?
Yes, they did lose one of their tackles. But
so maybe they do go the kid from Florida.
But they drafted Will Richardson last year, but they might go the kid from Florida, Will Richardson. They drafted him last year.
They got to do something to make sure Foles doesn't stay on his butt the whole time.
Yeah. I think they lost AJ Khan too. I do know about that. They lost him too. But
so we went from locking in our pick for Jacksonville to now it's like it could be something. One of everything.
No, I'm still going defense end, bro.
You're going defensive end?
I'm going defensive end.
All right, well, I'm going one of everything now. I changed my
tune. You changed your mind? I'm going straight defense end because I think Calais Campbell's getting old.
Well, Foles needs help. I don't think he's got anything that he needs to actually have any type of chance of replicating the success he had in Philadelphia.
Because the offense is not good.
I see a $22 million a year bust.
There's no Alshon Jeffrey over there.
This is Kirk Cousins all over again for me.
I mean, Marquise Lee is a little underrated. I don't know how good Marquise Lee is.
I like their young core of receivers. Yeah. You got to be able to pair a young guy with a vet guy who's got the spotlight on him so that the young guy can have some space on the field to run around. Like, they just got all these young guys, and I don't know where they're going to get the space. I don't know, because they're only going to run one side of the field. You're not running a full offense with Foles. So I don't know what they're – I don't get it. They're going to – Fournette's got to have a 2,000-yard season for some type of success out of Jacksonville.
That's not going to happen.
But, yeah, biggest bust. Biggest bust of the free agency this year.
The biggest bust is going to be Nick Foles. You sure?
Yes.
I don't know about that. I think there's some other signings, bro.
He's going to be a Kirk Cousin-level kind of bust.
There's going to be some other signings that are worse, bro, for sure.
Well, I want to talk about a guy who made sure that he wasn't a big-time signing.
Who's that?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
He got a big offer from Miami, and you know what he said? No, thank you. I'm going to stay right here in New Orleans.
But he only got a one-year deal for New Orleans.
Yeah, he got a one-year deal for $8 million. He's a security blanket for if Drew Brees gets hurt because he's in his 40s now.
But, yeah, I understand that. But, like, so what is he going to do next year? Is he going to go back to the Saints or is he going to go?
He's going to do the same thing.
Wait for another team to be a bridge quarterback.
He's either going to do the same thing or they're going to trade him.
I feel like he should have went to Miami.
I mean,
I think if you went to Miami,
he had the chance.
I don't think he loses that starting job because unless Miami goes against Kyler Murray.
No, that's which, his.
Even if they've drafted Drew Lock or something, those guys aren't beating out Teddy.
No.
Right? So I think Teddy would play good enough to hang on. And then he probably, if he played good enough and he lasted the whole season, he'd get paid when they move on and try to put their rookie quarterback in. So I don't understand that.
I get it. I get it completely. You're with a team that went to the NFC Championship game last season.
Yeah.
And you could be the next guy. You could be the next guy for a competitive football team. You want to start completely over with a franchise that's been in shambles since the 80s?
Yeah, but Drew Brees is still there.
I get it.
Is he going anywhere anytime soon?
So he's just going to keep playing the one-year deal card. Or the Saints are going to straight up trade him to a franchise that's dying for a quarterback, and then he'll go play over there and then get paid by them next season.
But he's got to prove himself that he can still play at a high level.
I agree with you.
So when is he going
to
do that?
Actually, he doesn't have to prove himself. All he's got to do is have a good spring and a good
preseason.
A good preseason. And he's a guy that can start. He's a one.
Yeah.
He's a one. And who's he going to play with? All the guys that all the rookie quarterbacks play with every year, and everybody gets all psyched up about these rookie quarterbacks.
And I know he's going to look really good in the preseason.
He's going to look great in the preseason. So he's going to have his one-year deal, and he'll either stay with them the entire year, see what happens next year, and sign another one-year deal in New Orleans, or they're going to trade him, and he's going to be the guy somewhere else, start immediately, and then he's got to prove himself on the field to get paid for a big-time contract. I'm not upset. If I'm him, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that mentality.
Yeah.
He's got an easy $8 million this year. Sit back.
I mean, he might get a trade in the preseason, too, if he plays well.
Sure.
If somebody gets hurt.
Sure.
Somebody's bound to get hurt in the preseason. Some kind of quarterback's about to go down. Just hope it's not mine.
Well, I'll tell you what. Some teams that signed some quarterbacks for their backup position, like in L.A., who brought Bortles in. If Goff goes down, you know they're trading for a quarterback. They're not turning the keys over to Bortles.
I don't know, man. Are they turning?
Oh,
I heard Bortles had a chance to start some places, and he turned it down to go to L.A.
Stop.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
He could have been the Dolphins starting quarterback, Blake Bortles. Miami Dolphins. Who knows? That would be so bad for Jared Goff, because what if Blake Bortles plays well?
It doesn't matter. No, I'm telling you, that's not what would be bad for Goff is they trade for Teddy. And now you got three guys getting paid at the position. Two of them are going to get cut.
Yeah, Goff can't afford to get hurt.
No, he can't. And neither can Marcus Mariota. Actually, Mariota can handle getting hurt. They would rather transition him to a backup than have...
yeah.
Who is it? Tannehill? Is it Tannehill over there?
That's an odd trade.
I thought a little bit as well, but it's because he was hurt all last year.
Yeah,
and they need a better option than Blaine Gabbert.
I know Tannehill's not been great, but...
But he's better than Blaine Gabbert.
Sure.
So I think that's a smart decision by Tennessee, because you don't know what's going to happen with Mariota.
I mean, because... They're
kind of the same
Mariota
guy.
Mariota in the preseason. I know preseason doesn't matter that much, but
well, it's Mariota. I mean, Mariota's the preseason's not going to matter for him. All it would do is stir some conversations in the media. And if he comes out and goes 0-3, then it's a different story. But if he comes out and gets hurt right away, they're still going to give him the job back.
That trade it was fishy.
Like, no, I liked it. I liked it for Tennessee. That's smart on their
part. I'm just saying it's not fishy in the bad way. It was more like for Mariota, it's like if I was him, I'd be like, damn, this dude.
That's what he – if I'm
– People have been trying to make him he's been a breakout. I mean, Ryan Tannehill's been a breakout player for like 5 of his 7 seasons. So he's been –
I couldn't even keep a straight face saying that, Marcus.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, I'll lie, bro. For like,
get out of here.
Since his like second season, he's been the he's gonna break out guy. He's been the, especially from like his third season to his fifth season. Oh, he was definitely Tannehill. This is the year Tannehill's gonna break out.
Okay.
Oh man, you see this throw he made? He's ready to go. He's gonna break out this year. I think he's Pro Football Focus had him ranked top 10 this year. So I think he's going to go. He's going to break out. He's been that guy for a long time. Well, so when he comes over to play with Mariota,
maybe gives Mariota a kick in the butt.
That has to be a big one to me.
I think I like it. I like what the organization did.
What's the difference?
No, they're the same guy. They're the same guy right now, except Mariota went a little bit higher in the draft.
Yeah,
they're the same guy.
I don't see.
They both get hurt. They both have talent. They both can move.
See, I mean, Mariota's the weirdest quarterback in the world. Like he's like some games he's good.
He's either going to be motivated by this or he's going to Vince Young it.
Like everything about Mariota, the way he plays, like feels like he should be better than the way he plays. Like you watch him and you really don't see like a guy who's with bad pocket presence.
Yeah.
You really don't see a guy with like bad anticipation. You really don't see a guy who it's just I don't know if it's the off, if somebody's trying to hide him, or maybe he doesn't use his feet as much as he should. I think that he doesn't use his feet as much as he should.
Well, that's because he gets hurt every single time he leaves the pocket.
Yeah, he does get hurt a lot. It's just, I don't know. I think sometimes he just misses easy throws, but then he'll make a great throw.
We talked about that.
Then he'll make a great throw. And then, yeah, he's just weird. And that's why they go 9-6, 9-7 every year, because he's so up and down. Yeah. And I guess, I mean, in the red zone, they don't use him, I guess. But, I mean, he's not a bad – he's so weird watching him. It's like nothing
that's going to be – I'll hit you with that hashtag, we'll see what happens in Tennessee. That's all you can say about that.
There's really nothing really bad about him, man. It's just weird. He just hasn't put up the numbers to make it to back it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, throwing 11 touchdowns and 12 touchdowns in back to back seasons, it's not cutting it.
No,
it's not cutting it, man.
No. You know who's gonna struggle to throw 11, 12 touchdowns this year?
Who's that?
Fitzmagic. I don't need a hashtag for we'll see nothing. Miami will be at the bottom of the totem pole.
They're drafting a quarterback, so I don't know who it is.
I don't think they're doing it this year.
I think they are.
I think they're going to save up for Tua next year.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to let them get Tua, man. He's going to get 6-10 them.
No, there's no way they're going to get 6 wins.
They're going to get 6 wins.
No way.
Ryan Fitzpatrick gets you 6 wins.
No way.
It's going to frustrate
you.
He's not bad enough.
Try to Russell Wilson logic me with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's not bad enough to get you 3-13. But he's not getting up to get you 8-8.
4-12.
No.
The Dolphins are a top 3 pick.
I go lowest 5-11 with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh.
They go there. At least
one more win. Really?
He's going to have some couple comebacks.
Marcus.
He's got
3. I'll go 3-13 for the Dolphins. You
he
can
has
have
a couple
five
comebacks
and
in him where he's just, you know.
How, they're not even going to be in position to be able to do that.
Well, the defense isn't that bad. The defense is okay. They're all right. It's not that bad. It's not. They got some decent pieces over there.
Name one.
Xavier Howard.
Dang. I thought I had you on that.
Xavier Howard's a good made the Pro Bowl, 7 interceptions.
All right. You know? Well, I'm still saying 3-13. No, I'm sticking with my 4-12.
4-12?
4-12, and they want Tua. They want Tua. You don't bring in and pay Fitzpatrick to be anything but a stopgap.
Well, I know he's a stopgap, but if you let him, if you give him full reins, you're going to be upset because you're not going to get Tua. I fully believe that. I feel like that he's not bad enough. Because I mean, look at the Bucks last year. You think if the Bucks kept him in the lineup the whole season, do they go 6-10? Probably. They're 6-10, and he probably throws 4,800 yards.
Mike Evans.
He throws 4,800 yards.
Sean Jackson.
Last year. Yeah.
Adam Humphries. Like, they had weapons.
But I'm just,
who do they have in Miami?
That's my point.
Who do they have in Miami? Drake?
They got Kenny Stills.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Stills sure compares to Mike Evans.
I mean, they have no Mike Evans.
No kidding.
They don't even have
a Deshaun Jackson.
There's no other Mike Evans
in
the NFL.
They don't have a Deshaun Jackson.
I mean, Kenny Stills, he's a mini Deshaun Jackson. He's a good deep threat. He's a big deep threat,
he's
Kenny
not
Stills.
Deshaun Jackson.
He's a deep threat, though.
Okay, so that's your best receiver is the deep threat.
Okay,
so you put two over the top, so he can't get behind anybody.
I mean, Devontae Parker.
Parker's gone.
No, he's still there. He resigned.
I could have sworn he didn't resign.
He resigned. He resigned with them. They got him on a cheap deal. Like
he's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but he's got the talent.
I don't think they do. I don't think you compare. I don't think you compare that wide receiver, tight end, running back.
You can't at all.
To what they had in Tampa.
But I'm just saying, Ryan Fitzpatrick can still get you 5 wins. He's still going to find a way. He's just.
I don't think he finds a
he's
way.
He's just gutsy and just.
I'll agree with you.
He's gutsy, done late.
And I love what he does, but I don't see it. I don't see it, Marcus. I don't see it.
You see some of that Fitz magic.
They're going for Tua. They I hope for Miami's sake, for those fans, those poor fans, that they get a little Fitz magic.
That's what I'm saying.
They need something to hold on to.
Fitz them to 7-9. I'm telling you, man. Don't sleep on Fitz getting them to 7 wins.
They're not getting there.
That's his max. He's season max
happen.
7.
It's not going
to
happen.
He's always going to get you to a hot start.
When the Jets did what they did in the offseason, they're not getting – Miami's not getting to 7 wins.
Dolphins going to start 3-0 or 4-0. Just like every Ryan Fitzpatrick
get
team starts.
Get out of here. I'm not playing that. I'm not playing this game with you, Marcus. I'm not playing this
every
game.
Every year, Ryan Fitzpatrick team starts 4-0.
It's not happening.
Everybody's wondering if he's going to win the MVP.
It's not happening.
Oh, my God. They're going to beat the Patriots in New England. They're going to be like, oh, my God, Fitzmagic. He's going to come back, beat the Patriots in New England, you know, start 4-0. And then they just.
Belichick will never let that happen.
And then he does what he always does and just falls off the cliff.
It's not happening.
They finish at 6-10.
It's not happening.
They go 2-10 the rest of the season.
Sorry. It's not happening.
It's my prediction.
I'm going to hold you to that. You're going to be
mad. It's all dependent if they play New England in the first 4 weeks.
Here we go.
Because him beating New England is going to catapult the Fitzmagic buzz. Uh-huh. And everybody's going to be calling the Dolphins the best team in the AFC East.
Nobody's going to say that.
This is reactionary
here.
NFL. You're going to see think pieces about how Fitzpatrick is, you know, taking down the Patriots and we're gonna be wondering the Patriots could be like 1-2. We're gonna be like, are the Patriot dynasty over? We're gonna be doing all this because Fitzmagic
every year
there.
That same conversation every year.
Same shit every year, dog.
Oh my God, you're making me spend too much time on.
I'm just telling you, just be on the lookout for the 8-8.
Oh my God,
the 4-0 start.
You keep and then they go 2-10 going up, man. You started at 5 wins, now you're at 8 wins. Now you're at 8 wins, Marcus.
I'm telling you, man, they're going to start off 4-0 and go 2-10. I'm going 6-10 if they start.
Coming back to reality?
Coming back to reality.
Okay.
6-10. They start off 4-0. They go 2-10 the rest of the year. That is a Ryan Fitzpatrick season.
You want me to give you your best case scenario?
What?
They start 2-0, and then they win two more games the rest of the season. That's your best case scenario.
No, Fitzmagic lasts about 5 weeks. They're going 4-0.
I can't.
The
do
magic
this
lasts, bro.
I can't
it
do this with
it
the
does.
One.
It's like a thing. This is a real thing. It doesn't last long, but it lasts at least 3 weeks.
Who else got signed? I can't do this with you anymore.
You said it too many times, Chris. It happened with the Bucks this year. It happened when he was in
That's
Buffalo.
A different team.
In Buffalo,
both of those teams are different teams.
They beat New England and Buffalo. Everybody, this is the same talk. Ryan Fitzpatrick got one of the biggest contracts in NFL history just for beating New England in New England.
I'm not doing this with you, Marcus. I'm not doing this with you.
He fooled the whole Buffalo's town. He had them all fooled. They was like, oh, my God, we got the quarterback. He's the truth. Fitzmagic. He does it, man. It's not going to change, bro. It's not going to change. But, yeah, Chris, there wasn't any other big signings to tell you about, to be honest.
Yeah, there was McCown basically said he was retiring.
Yeah.
And who'd they sign? They signed the guy that he started in Denver for a little. Oh, my God. I'm blanking hard.
Trevor Siemian.
Siemian. Yep. Siemian's a backup in New York. You got to just be really impressed with what they did in free agency.
With the Jets?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did good. And they did pretty good.
You want to talk about a team in the AFC East that's going to do some type of Fitz magic? It's the Jets. The Jets are going to be a squad this year.
A squad? I don't know about that. I mean, that's a little stretch, Chris.
For the AFC East? No, it's not.
It's all about Sam Darnold's development.
Absolutely, but it helps to have Le'Veon Bell behind you.
Yeah.
It helps to have C.J. Mosley captain for the defense.
They overpaid a little bit, but, you know, that's fine.
They got a linebacker for the rest of his career. He's gonna be their guy.
Yeah, he's okay in coverage. You know, I don't know about that. I feel like James White
will
tear him
machine.
Up. Well, James White's going to tear him up, though, for two games.
Well, they've already played against each other every single year. I mean, the Ravens and the Patriots are always facing each other. So
yeah,
it's not like that he's not familiar with what's going on.
It's all about Darnold's development. And Le'Veon Bell's going to help a lot.
Yeah.
Jets are probably going to be a sneaky team. They got a pretty good defense all together already.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're pretty good defensive pieces. And then, yeah, adding CJ Mosley to that does make a difference when you already got, like, Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they need to get more wide receivers, though.
Agreed. They could end up with one of the top guys in the draft this year, too. Where are they? They're at three, right?
Yeah, but they ain't taking them.
I heard that they want to trade back. They don't want to be in three. They want, and this played off to what you were so upset about with Gruden and the Kyler Murray controversy in Oakland.
Yeah.
They're sitting there at four. The Jets want to keep hearing that stuff because then anybody that really wants to come in, if Murray doesn't go one, they can get him at three.
Yeah.
And the Jets want to hear that because they want to step back. They want more picks. They want more collateral. They want to do more with the rest of their roster. They're not looking at one guy. And with they got defensive linemen over there in New York. You know what? I could see Ed Oliver going there as an edge rusher.
Well, I'm hoping he falls to four and the Raiders are smart and take him there. But Ed Oliver could go there, but I really think it's going to be like it's Murray, Bosa, Williams. That's three.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
That's not a bad.
Well, it depends on how the Niners have it on their board. That Bosa or Williams is the number one player. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I bet some team out there has Ed Oliver as the number one player. I don't believe that there's not one team out there that is that low on Ed Oliver. Mm-hmm. There's some team that's like. Yeah, we could mess with this. Him falling still trips me out, but you know that's what they want to do.
But for the Jets, it does depend on Darnold.
Yeah, Darnold's development is the big
I don't want to see him holding and pump faking and making a decision and then not following through with the decision and then forcing the ball. I don't want to see that this year.
He finished the year well though.
Yeah, well, he did that a lot throughout the season. So, yeah. But we talked about that. We said he was turnover prone. So.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, he was very turnover prone. But he played well when the when he came back from injury. He played.
We'll see
a
how
lot
his,
better.
We'll see how his second year goes.
Yeah,
I'm excited for the Jets.
Yeah, so I mean, if he develops, man, and becomes a legitimate quarterback, they're
that's good. They're in a good place, especially if they can get themselves a wide receiver over there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they really need. I mean, can't depend on Roy Anderson to make all the plays. He's number two guy. He's not a number one.
Agreed.
So you got to make sure that he stays in that number two position, get your number one guy. But if they do trade back, I mean, they could be in one of the guys takes Metcalf too.
Well, you know who I could see them going after? And it kind of gives Robbie Anderson that ability to kind of stay off the radar at the same time. You know who's a cheap wide receiver out there right now who's got a lot to prove?
Who's that?
Dez Bryant.
What is Dez doing right now?
He's just trying to get himself back after his injury.
Yeah.
That could be a comeback story, a New York story. He would love it there. He would eat that up.
Yeah, Dez would eat that up. But I don't know if Dez getting another job after he tore that Achilles.
Well, we'll see.
I doubt it. It's gonna be really, really,
really. It will
late.
Be tough, but somebody's gonna have a need. That's a big time name.
Yeah, that's
true. They can get for cheap, and he's motivated. He's motivated to do something.
Yeah. Well, he's over 30 and just tore his Achilles like the first day of practice.
I know. That was so awful. I felt so bad for him.
I don't know if he's going to get another job.
I felt so bad. Well, Suggs has done it like 17 times. He keeps, like, one year it's the left, next year it's the right one, then it's back to the left. He tears it every year.
Yeah, Suggs tears everything.
Yeah. And then he's back. That's just as explosive as a position as wide receiver is.
Yeah.
So it's possible to come back from it.
It's possible, but he's already slow as hell before. The torn Achilles probably be even slower.
Yeah, well, so that's my thing. Robbie Anderson's the one that's got to do all the
he's
deep
do underneath stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's just got to stay underneath. Catch all the underneath stuff.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about these pro days.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we did enough free agents, quarterbacks.
Well, you know, I'm not excited to talk about these pro days because they did not move the needle.
Didn't move the needle for you, huh?
Not even a little bit. These quarterbacks, I'm going to say it again. Josh Allen is the number one draft pick if he waits one more year. He's the number one pick.
Yeah, he is.
And he's not hiding in the snow in Buffalo. He's playing in the sun in Arizona or in the sun in Miami.
I don't think Arizona takes him.
That's true. They already got Rosen.
See, I don't know. Now that I think about it, I think a lot of people like Murray more than they like Allen. No, think about it. I think somebody would take Murray over Allen, for sure.
I don't.
Somebody would.
No way.
Somebody would. Yeah, I mean, you don't think that now
with the size.
Somebody would.
He's a mobile quarterback. He's got the size. He's got that arm talent that everybody wants. One more year in college, and he would have put up numbers that would have nobody. He might have won the Heisman.
Who, Josh Allen? Not with that team.
Maybe.
No,
why not?
No way.
Why not?
No way. Now you're reaching. Now you're stretching a little bit, Chris. I still think
that he's.
I mean, he'd definitely be quarterback two before Haskins. I just don't know if
he would be NFL quarterback would one.
Rate him over Murray, but like some NFL teams rate Haskins over Murray. So, you know, it's just all dependent.
I don't think it's debatable. I think, and I don't think he wouldn't go to the Senior Bowl. Wouldn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that at the Senior Bowl, he showed some stuff that turned some teams off.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the one or two throws that everybody was oohing and on about. But other than that, like, he could have done that at a pro day. He doesn't need to do it at a Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
In a more controlled environment. I'm sticking with it, man. Allen would have been the number one pick this year. This year. Not even close. Not even close.
I don't know. I think the NFL
there's nobody
really
in this draft class that even touches the last
Murray.
Draft
I think,
class.
I think the NFL
not
really
a single
loves,
one of them.
They love Kyler Murray. I don't know. I think Kyler has a talent to match any of the guys in the last draft class. I think that. I do. I really do.
I can't get there with He's, that.
My thing with Kyler is, you know, it's, well, it's you more. If I don't know if.
Well, tell him. Give him his pro day. Give him his pro day.
I mean, his pro day went really well. I mean, he showed everything that you see on tape. I mean, there's nothing really. His pro day didn't really change anything for me. I like his tape. I think he has really good accuracy, better than I thought when I first watched him, and I watched some more. He has really good accuracy. He does. He puts the ball where he wants to put it most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more about him with pressure. I don't know. That's my thing. I've never seen him under pressure. Has anybody seen him under pressure, really? I mean, you could say that you have, but nobody's seen it.
Yeah,
I watched a bunch of games. It is rare. And the Alabama game, when he was under pressure a lot, he was in trouble. But once the game went on and they adjusted a little bit and the line got better, he had more time to make more plays, but he still made some plays off schedule when he was with the line, and he was able to run for 100 yards because he was under so much pressure, he just started running. But that's also my thing with him too, because it's not about the pro days. I just don't know how he's going to handle pressure in the NFL. Is he going to just drop his head and bail? Is he going to roll out and keep his head up, or is he just bailing and he's going to run for 1,000 yards next year? Is it like that? It's like, what are you getting? And if that with the run game like that is, he's not really. I wouldn't say he's a runner like Lamar Jackson. Like Lamar
no.
Jackson does the
zone read. I agree.
This dude's a passer that is really really fast.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
You know, really short and fast. So, but he doesn't. That's my biggest thing is that when he rolls out. And rolls out of the pocket, it is not to throw.
No.
It is rare. I mean, everybody shows the Alabama game where he did that, and he threw that really nice deep ball when he was on the run up the middle. He kind mm-hmm. of speed set up the middle. But that was more, to me, that was more just him stepping up in the pocket
mm-hmm.
than him mm-hmm. making a play mm-hmm. like that. But the hole was just open. He stepped up in the pocket, made it look more of a scramble throw than it actually was. It wasn't like he was rolling out to the right and made that throw or rolling out to the left. It was more he just stepped up the pocket, threw a deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, sure, it's great. But it's not him when he's off schedule. He's not a real off-schedule thrower. This is what I've seen. Really doesn't really do it. He either throws it in from the pocket or he's gone.
We're on the same page with that.
Right. So that's my thing with him. It's like nobody's seen him under pressure. Every clip I've seen on him from Twitter, there's no pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
Never under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the Alabama game when he's under pressure from the beginning, he couldn't handle it. But like I said, then the line got better around him and he was able to make throws and step into his throws like he usually does. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, he's money, but we don't know if he's under pressure yet. So
his
pro day, yeah, it looked pretty. Great arm, amazing, great accuracy. Everything looks great. Looks pretty. Great workout. Really good setup. You know?
Wasn't it good ball placement than just horrific?
Well, that's him. So it's
that shouldn't be a thing, especially on a pro day, Marcus. Like, you can't miss your guys on a pro day.
But like, it's more about. I mean, that's what he does, man. It's like he'll throw the perfect back shoulder throw that you ever see in your life, and then sometimes he'll just miss you. He's just one of those guys. It's not like how Haskins is. Haskins will just misses everything sometimes. I don't think.
Oh, Marcus, don't get me started on.
So it's not. That's the difference. It's like Murray. Murray's misses are don't come as often. So most of the time, from a clean pocket with time and him able to step into that throw, it's going to be on the money most of the time. So like I even say like 79-80% of the time.
Okay,
it's going to be money, which is, I really like.
Okay,
and Haskins is totally different. Haskins is the 67% of the time is going to be.
Well, and I was
maybe 70.
It hurt me. It hurt me to watch that pro day, Marcus. Yeah. Watching Haskins on his pro day. In his drops, he gets happy feet. Like, I don't know if he's doing a 5-step or a 7-step.
Yeah.
But he's taking like 8 or 9 or 10. Like, there's too many steps in there. He keeps setting and resetting his feet to make this throw. And by the time the ball comes out, the receiver's out of their break.
Yeah.
And the ball's late, one. And then it's off target, two. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching his pro day, and I'm sitting here, and I'm just like, this is going on, and nobody is upset about this. Nobody's saying that this isn't going well.
Yeah.
They're just seeing, I mean, his guys are, they're running a speed out. They're out of their break. They're to the wide side of the field, so they got 18 days to run to the sideline because, you know, college fields with the hashes.
Yeah.
So they're out there. By the time the ball gets to them, they're on the sideline. There's barely any room for them to plant their feet and cut up field. And this is the pro day. They're playing against air.
Yeah. You see that from tape. You see that from tape on Haskins, what you're talking about. I think he anticipates a little bit better in the game. I'll give him that. Games, he anticipates a little better. I mean, but, I didn't see the pro day.
I
believe you that he didn't anticipate well. But I'm just saying on tape.
I don't get it, though, Marcus. It's scripted. You know exactly what's happening. These are your guys that have been running routes with you for ages.
Yeah.
I don't get how they're missing like that. And then you know what else really made me upset?
What?
He could barely stand up straight. He's just sitting back there doing drops, an occasional rollout. He's sweating up a storm, and he's got his hands on his waist.
Yeah.
He's breathing real heavy. You're just dropping back to throw the ball. You're not in a live game. You're not going to get hit. You're not running away from anybody. You've got designed bootlegs maybe 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
What? Is he just been not doing this?
I don't know.
Maybe. Like, is he just been working? I don't know. What's he been doing? What's he been doing this whole process?
Maybe he just looks winded. Maybe he's not really that winded, but he just looks winded.
Well, I hope he was just not winded. Because
they said he looked in great shape. That's what Daniel Jeremiah said on TV, that he looked in great shape.
The man almost sweat through his shirt.
I know. I did see that.
If he looks great and in shape like that, the appearance to me, man, did not look like
he was. Maybe he just sweats a lot.
He looked tired. His feet drove me insane. I texted you.
The Michigan State game is a great game for what you're talking about with his feet, because he had terrible feet the whole game, and he was terrible that whole game. He really was. And because he was under pressure a lot. Michigan State's defense is legit, and he was under pressure a lot, and I don't know if he handles pressure that well. And, I mean, that could get better in the NFL, but – needs to work. That's definitely something he needs to work on, is his feet. Like, he needs a good offensive line to start, or he's going to be Josh Rosen the first season.
Or running back behind him so that the focus isn't on him.
That's true, but
I mean, everybody keeps saying that he'll be there at 7 for the Giants. And it's a good fit because they're going to let Eli finish the year. And you got Saquon behind you. And they got the pick at 17 to either get a receiver or an offensive lineman. So I think the Giants are set up for a potential success, even if they pick Haskins at 7.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with, they're going to go with Rosen. I'm going to stick with it. But
what if the Giants like Murray? That's a wild card.
You think they'll trade 7 and 17?
I don't think Debbie Gattelman will take a short quarterback.
I don't know, man. He did a lot of weird He scared me with how he started out in New York. You don't re-sign Landon Collins. You trade Vernon to the Browns. You trade Odell Beckham to the Browns. You're going to stick with Eli, and you've only got a running back on the team. I mean, the Sterling Shepard's still out there. You got a lot of potential at the tight end position with Ingram. But the way that he started everything scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And it's really going to come down to how he drafts these his two first-round picks for if there's going to be any hope for the Giants in the future.
That's what I'm saying. So I wonder what if maybe he likes Kyler. But I doubt that because it's David Gettleman. And he probably wouldn't see the benefit of a quarterback that is that short. I still think a lot of the NFL is scared that he's short.
Well, okay. And I mean, there's two examples of guys that have had success at 5'10". You've got Drew Brees.
Drew Brees not 5'10".
He's six foot. Yeah, well, they were giving him crap for...
Oh, yeah. That's why he's second round pick.
Yeah,
because
they thought, okay, he's barely at that 6 foot. He's more 5'10". And then you got Russell Wilson. Those are the two guys in the NFL that you can look at their careers and say they're successful quarterbacks in the NFL. You look at any other quarterback, you get flashes. You get Doug Flutie. You get, you get something quick and brief that just hits real fast, and then you don't hear from it again.
Yeah, because I mean, the greatest 6 foot quarterback,
Michael Vick.
Michael Vick, Fran Tarkenton. Yep. Old school. He's one of the originals. But he wasn't a first round pick, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
So it's just 5'10 quarterbacks just aren't.
It scares the NFL.
It does scare the NFL. And I still think a lot of the NFL is scared of him. Because what if he doesn't play well?
I don't think he's going to. He's going to have some that flash, that early success, just because he's a guy that he's a dual threat. It's just the way that the NFL is. Those dual threat quarterbacks have success at the beginning of their career.
I don't
know.
Maybe if he had Andy Reid, I'd believe it. If he had Andy Reid, I'd fully believe in him.
Okay, well, you know what? Andy Reid's got a lot of work to do this next year with no running back like Hunt behind Mahomes. And he might not have his star wide receiver. They got a lot of work to do next year. But let's pump the brakes on maybe if he had Andy Reid.
I'm just saying, like, somebody that could reel him in. Just reel in Kyler. And have him not have him like keep his head up when he runs, have him kind of just reel him in a little bit. I think if somebody reeled him in, got him to control, stay in the pocket, make good. I mean, he has good pocket movement. He does good pocket movement, all that stuff. He avoids pressure. He's not under it a lot. So like when he gets like it's like an interior guy comes his way, he just avoids it, and like he doesn't panic.
Yeah, but if they catch him, Marcus. And they put their weight on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he came in at 206.
Yeah.
He's not playing at 206.
Yeah. I get that. But I still think if somebody reels him in and gets him into a good situation, gets him a good system, he's going to be all right. I mean, that's probably why the Cards want him. They probably feel like they can get him in that system.
Yeah, because they want him in the air raid. And they want the ball out of his hands quick. And then the ball's coming out quick. And then he holds it for a little bit. And you're like, oh, he's holding on to the ball. What's going to happen here? Yeah. And then he can take off.
Or he can throw the deep ball.
Yeah.
Off the scheme.
Yeah.
They draw up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting to think about.
Yeah.
But when it's got to come down to what's going to happen on the football field, who knows? It'll be a really good – he'll have a great rookie year. Wherever he goes, if he's starting, he's going to have a great rookie year. It's just that's the reality of the NFL.
Yeah, he is.
But once they get that tape on him, And these defensive coordinators can go to work. All you need is one of them to figure it out.
Yeah, he's got to reel it in.
All you need is one defensive coordinator to figure it out, and then it's a copycat league.
Or at least keep his head up when he scrambles. I mean, if he keeps his head up when he scrambles, he's going to be dangerous.
Okay, well.
He'll be dangerous. Like if he, I mean, cause I've seen a couple of plays where he did it. I mean, the main play where I saw him scramble against West Virginia and make that, I mean, he missed a wide open wide receiver because he's too short. But I mean, still, Marquise Brown was very, very open, and you know he was too short, and the inside lineman came inside, and he had to move. He couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. So I mean, it's a lot of things with him.
He better learn that Drew Brees peak.
He does. He does that. He does.
He
already
learn
does
how
that.
To do it.
He already throws from his toes.
Get that nose in the air. And just keep.
Yeah, I think he's been studying the Drew Brees tiptoe. He's already he throws. If you watch him, he does the look.
He's up
thing.
There. Yeah,
does the stand up.
Yeah,
like and one thing I always talk about for with him is how he has to throw. He has to have the throwing motion.
Yeah.
You get in his throwing motion.
He's going to sail everything.
He starts sailing everything if he can't get his passes right. Or you get, you make him, you want to make him do different throwing motions, get interior pressure, because if he can't get that full on release that he needs with that good area around him, he's start air milling the ball. So he needs a good offensive line.
It's
going to
be interesting to see.
That's the thing.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Everybody talks to act like he could just make whatever happen. Yeah, he will run for 150 yards on people sometimes, but he needs a good line for him to be a good passer as well.
So he can get back to his spot and stay on platform and make his throws. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He needs a good situation too.
You're right. They all do. They all do. Yeah, that's the thing with this draft class. There's nobody in there that can come in and be the guy to create his best situation. They need help to be in those situations. Another guy who had his pro day today, Mr. Locke.
Yeah.
They literally just did everything just to show the arm talent. It had nothing to do with game situation. You and I were watching this one play where he gets back in a five-step drop and angled it to the right.
Yeah.
So the offensive line would have had to shift right in front of him. Okay. As soon as he got back there, they had him bail out to his left immediately. That's not realistic. Phase one. Phase two, he didn't even make any type of progression read, get back there, plant his feet, set up, and then bail. He got back there, and they bailed him out of there immediately to his left. Looked good. Technique, his hips turned, his shoulders squared. It looked gorgeous. And then what did they do? What throw did they do, Marcus?
It was
a backside post.
A backside post.
So that means that he went through his progression to his right and decided that post is not open.
Yeah.
And then bailed to his left, came back through his progression, and then at the end of that found him clear of the safety. And all this happened in like 2 seconds. So it was clearly just to throw the ball
as far as possible.
As far as possible, rolling to his left.
Yeah.
Just to say, look, he can do this. That's not a game throw. There's never going to be one time that he makes that throw in a game. And if he does, that whole path that he went on is not the path that he would take. So he built up all this momentum and speed to throw off his back foot to his left. And don't get me wrong, it looked gorgeous. It was a beautiful throw.
Yeah.
But any of these guys in the NFL can make that throw. Some of them could just stand there and turn their hips and their shoulders and just flick their wrists and make the same throw just from standing there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw that, I was like, okay, this isn't serious. Yeah. We're not trying to be serious here. We're just trying to get some oohs and ahs, and he got it.
He did.
And he got it.
I mean,
all these pro days, man.
They're just interviews, bro.
And they're not the same as what they used to be. Like, it used to be on a pro day, if you missed one guy.
Yeah,
they light you up.
Yeah.
They got his guys out there, and he can't even hit his own receivers that he's been working with for 2, 3, 4 seasons. And you expect him to be good in the NFL?
The ball shouldn't touch the ground.
No, never. Not even once. The ball shouldn't miss its spot. If it misses its spot and you go clean and the ball doesn't hit the ground, then they're like, oh, you know, he had an okay day. He just was off target.
Yeah.
But and now today it's just like, ooh, did you see that?
I know.
Oh, did you see that?
I mean, but it is a job interview, though. So, like, that's why they do is extra stuff, because they're trying to.
It's not realistic.
It's just like, that's why you show up to job interview with your suit on and you got your tie on. You're trying to impress them, get your resume out. That's his resume, man. I could throw this. Look at this deep backside post I could throw. Look at this. See this?
It's ridiculous, Marcus.
Like this throw, that's what I could do.
It was ridiculous.
This is what you get from Drew Lock. If you draft
a throw
me,
you'll never see again. And if you do, see it again, you know what's going to happen?
Right.
That ball's going the other way. That safety's going to get to it. You see how much air was under that?
Yeah.
You're going to tell me a guy like even Earl Thomas with his broken leg will get to the other side of the sideline to get that ball.
It's the same, man. It's all about the interview and the performance. Yeah, you gotta perform.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying. Like, just from Daniel Jeremiah's, you know, explanation, it sounded like the ball was on the ground a lot. Because, you know, I just think about, like, Sam Bradford's pro day, that the ball didn't touch the ground. Like, it didn't.
It's how it's supposed to be. You're number one. If you're a number one overall pick, that's how it's supposed to be. If you're a first round draft pick, you're going to go in the top 15. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to miss any throws.
It's not like that anymore, man.
I know. Because even Jamarcus Russell didn't miss any throws in his pro day.
Right?
He's supposed to have one of the greatest pro days ever. I remember that.
That better be great. They spend months scripting.
Yeah.
Months. It better be great. Every single one of them.
That was the only thing Jamarcus Russell ever trained for in his life.
And all three of them, the top three guys.
Yeah.
They didn't move the needle.
There
was nothing impressive.
That was the really only thing that Jamarcus Russell ever trained for in his life was his pro day. He had the biggest fake interviews, like one of those guys you hire at work.
He's one of them CEOs. Yeah. He's one of them CEOs where he finally gets busted. You never graduated college from here. Supposed to be a thing?
You weren't like this in an interview.
No.
This isn't the same guy. All right, Chris. I mean, we already had an hour, bro.
I think we had a lot to say.
Yeah.
And we did a good job not getting too sidetracked.
Yeah, Nevada's only down three now. They're down three minutes, 44 seconds.
Well, they better figure it out.
I don't know. I was looking at that.
March Madness is distracting, man.
I know. Come on,
Nevada. Distracting.
Come on. Don't mess it up for us. Don't mess it up for us.
All right.
So we'll be back next week, people. And make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes. Make sure you hit the download button on Spotify. Make sure you keep following us. Got more information next week. I'm sure there'll be some more crazy stuff going on.
There always is.
Always something crazy.
Somebody will say something too. We're starting to get close to draft day now. We're inching closer. We got about almost a month left, right?
Almost a month to the draft.
Almost a month to the draft. So somebody's getting antsy. Somebody's getting ready.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, we're getting ready for that. Tired of seeing mock drafts.
Yeah, it's about that time.
I just think it's funny people argue about mock drafts. I think that's the funniest thing. Oh my God, that never would happen. Like, how do you know?
You know what would be more difficult to have than a clean NCAA bracket?
Right.
A clean first round draft.
Mock draft.
Mock
draft. They say, like, if you get 10 to 10 or 12 right, you're an expert.
That's tough too. Because just the fact that all the trades that could potentially happen.
Yeah.
There's no way. I think you're more likely to win the Powerball than you are to get the first round right.
I know, because you can't predict the trades.
No.
You can't predict the trades. That's why they say that. You usually only get 12. If you get 10 or 12 right, you're spot on.
Quite a game they play.
That's quite a game they play with the mock drafts. All right, people, we're out. See you next week.